As always, it is my honor and it is my great pleasure to stand before the people of our God, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, but to be able to rejoice together so that together we can encourage one another and stir up one another to love and good works. To our friends who are with us this morning, we thank you. We welcome you to the Southeast Church of Christ, and we are honored by your presence, and we are truly encouraged with you being here. If you will, please bow with me as we begin before we begin our lesson this morning. Our beloved Father, our King and our Lord, truly, Father, what love you have demonstrated us, what joy and what blessing, Father, to know that we are your children, that we are assured, Father, through thy holy word, that those of us who have put on Christ in baptism have now the right to be called thy children of thy kingdom. Father, as we continue to study, Father, these fundamental lessons throughout this quarter, please, Lord, allow us to meditate, to research, and to diligently search in thy scriptures to confirm if indeed thy word is being rightly divided, Father. And that, Lord, what I've been able to learn, what I've been able to glean from thy holy scriptures, that I may be able to share with those who are listening to the voice of thy Son. Forgive us, Father, when we have sinned against you. Forgive us when we have gone against thy will. Lord, please grant us the boldness to make all those crooked paths straight once again. For we pray this in the glorious and mighty name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. You see, brethren, we are studying fundamental lessons. And as we stated last Sunday in our introductory lesson, we are bracing the foundation that we have built our faith upon. We are ensuring that we are doing the proper maintenance, and we are ensuring that for those who have perhaps been Christians for some time, that we are reminded, that we remember our origins, that we remember these fundamental lessons that the Bible has given us. For those of you who are newborn babes or have not been Christian long enough, these are important for you to learn to see as the laying blocks or the fundamentals to the faith upon the promises that you trusted on to begin your Christian walk. And for our friends who have yet to put on God or to put on Christ through baptism, our goal and our joy is that as you see these fundamentals based in God's word, that it will give you that encouragement, that it will give you that boldness to want to be a child of God. You see, the question has to be asked with our title. What does he mean by true children of God? I thought we were all children of God. You know, the passage that has been read for our hearing this morning, once more, where I've stopped, it says that God has bestowed this blessing on us. That pronoun us specifies that it is indeed a select group. And it is not upon everyone that this blessing has been bestowed. Not every human being can be called or can call himself a child of God. Now, there are those out in the denominational world that would like for you to and I to believe that they too are children of God and they call upon God as their father. But God does not recognize them as his children. God may hear that they call upon him as father, but he does not call them my son or my daughter. But the inspired John here in 1 John chapter 3 says, in regards to himself and to those whom he wrote these words for, God does call us his children. He does call us that belong to him. He acknowledges us, and therefore he claims us as his own children. You will turn with me to Romans chapter 11. And in Romans chapter 11, the Apostle Paul states something that is very, very fundamental for you and I to understand. Romans chapter 11. I'm sorry, chapter 9. I apologize. Romans chapter 9. And notice verses 6 through 8 with me very quickly. Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Nor are they all children, because they are of the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted as the seed. You know, it's interesting that Paul here begins by bringing up a very important detail. Just because they were related to Abraham, just because they were born of Abraham and Hagar, or Abraham and Keturah, it did not mean that they were giving the title of children of God. They were not considered to be the child of promise. For you see, in Isaac was the blessing. In Isaac your seed shall be called. And Paul takes this point from the biological stance to prove that even though those that came from Isaac, they were all from the Israelite fleshly, they were not all the children of God. Remember that John the Baptizer, when the Pharisees tried to make the claim because of their bloodline and because of their biology to Abraham, that therefore they were part of this lineage, John tells them that God could raise sons even from the stone. Jesus himself revealed to them that just because they were biologically related to Abraham, it did not mean that Abraham was their father, John chapter 8. And thus we have to ask the following question. We have to understand how to identify God's true children. You see, it is true that God created us all. There is no denying that God created mankind. We were all, as human beings, created in the image and in the likeness of God. But being his creation does not make us automatically his children. Because it is true also that God created the domesticated animals. God created the predators. God created the fowls of the air. He created the land. He created the vegetation. And on none of that does he call it ever as his children. On none of it does God ever give this very great honor and these blessings that are reserved only for his children, for his heirs, as we will see tonight. Therefore, it is important that you and I, first and foremost, get rid of the illusion that because we were created like in the image of God and we were created in his likeness, this automatically makes us his children. No, this makes us his creation, and it makes him our creator, but it does not make us father and child. So how do I identify then? What identifying markers makes me a child of God? Well, notice that there, John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, if you will turn with me there, the Bible tells us that we have to be born of God, not according to the flesh. Born of God, not according to the flesh. Go with me very quickly to John chapter 1. In the gospel account of John chapter 1, beginning there at verse 11, and I want you, as you're turning there and as we begin to read it, pay close attention why we're reading the context there at verse 11. The Bible reads, "He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God." Now pay attention. He gave the right to become children of God. "To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Now, did you notice, friend, verse 11? He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Now, that pronoun "he" is in reference to Jesus. The verb, the word of God, the logos. You see, Jesus came to his own. He came to the house of Israel. He came to serve the Jews. He came to first the bloodline of Judah and David. But they did not receive him. They rejected him. And they rejected his doctrine. And therefore, because they did so, they denied themselves the right to be called children of God. But then the Apostle John clarifies to us that to be born of God, not according to the flesh. Notice the two specifications in verse 13. It says, "not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh." In other words, biologically relationship matters nothing here. You cannot be born of Abraham and believe that you are automatically born of God. You see, biology is not what matters here. It is faith, and it is by faith that we must be born. But then pay attention to the fact that he says, nor by the will of the flesh. This doesn't mean that it's going to be according to how I want it to be. I cannot just get up and say, okay, this is what I must do, and this is how I'm going to become a child of God, and God is going to accept it. No, it's not by my will. So it's not through my bloodline, and it's not through my desires and my will. Then how? How then am I born of God? How then do I become a child of God? Well, notice I must be born of the incorruptible seed. The incorruptible seed is something that cannot be tainted. It is something that cannot wither away. It is something that only God could provide for mankind, because we, our seed, will eventually become corrupted. Turn with me now to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning there at verse 17, to verse 25, the Bible reads, and if you call on the Father, now notice, if you call on the Father, let me pause there real quick, friends. If you believe to be a child of God, if you're calling him Father, Abba Father, if you're reaching out to him as if he were your Father, that if in front of that, if you call on the Father, that means that there are conditions that must be met that will either authorize or reject you as an authentic and legitimate child of God. The Bible continues, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold or from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Let me pause there again. John chapter 1, verse 13 was not according to blood and not according to the will of man. We cannot buy our name from God. We cannot purchase our family heirloom from God. We cannot buy ourselves in, nor can we bribe God to allow us to have a seat in his family. Because God, our salvation was not bought with corruptible things, says verse 18. We were not redeemed with silver or gold. The will of man is short here. And pay attention, we did not receive it from by tradition from your fathers. It has nothing to do with blood. It has nothing to do with my generation. Even if I had a father, a grandfather, a great-great-grandfather, and 12 generations of members of the Church of Christ, if my faith is not my own, if I am not convicted, if I am not committed, if I have not put on Christ through baptism, following the Word of God, it does not matter how many before me were members who were faithful. My faith has to be my own. My relationship with God has to be personal. And my parents' faith will not save me, nor will it condemn me. Because even if their faith is weak, it is my responsibility to work out my own salvation. So pay attention to this. Just because my parents are children of God doesn't mean that I'm a grandchild of God. It doesn't work that way. Now, I want to ask this question just for you to meditate upon. Have you noticed that God doesn't have grandchildren? Have you ever paid attention to that? Have you paid attention to the fact that God doesn't have nieces or nephews? He only has children. He only has children. Even though I am my father's son, both he and I, in the eyes of God, are brothers. Because we are both his children. But we keep reading. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Notice, we have to be born of God, not of the flesh. So here is how I am born. My faith and my hope have to be founded in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, not a truth, the truth, through the Spirit, not a spirit, the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, through what? The Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, friends, isn't that the definition of something that cannot be corrupted? Something that is incorruptible, meaning something that will not spoil, something that will not rot, something that will not lose its value, is something that will live and abide forever. And Peter, to make this point, drive this point home, he quotes verse 24, Old Testament scripture, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and is and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. That was written by Isaiah, friends. Thousands of years had passed when Isaiah wrote these words, and Peter is quoting them in the first century. And today, we are still reading them in the 21st century. This is the incorruptible seed. The Word of God is what we is of what you and I must be born again from. If I want to be identified as a child of God, the question then becomes, where was I born from? What was I born of? Was I born of God? And if I was, then I was born of his incorruptible seed. If I was born off of creeds of men, and I was born off of opinions of men, if I was born off of anything other than the Word of God, God does not see me as his child. Because we were born for righteousness. You see, we have a purpose why we're reborn. We were born for righteousness. You turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. Now, we've already read verses 1 through 3, right? But pay attention, and we need to pay very close attention to what the Bible says, because God here inspires John, and it's very specific. 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 7, going on to verse 10. The Bible says, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Now notice, he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. His seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God." Now, we just saw those first two terms in there, didn't we? We have to be born of God. But if we are born of God, says verse 9, his seed is in him. What seed? His word. Why is his word in us? Because it is incorruptible. It is not like gold. It is not like silver. It abides and lives forever. And as long as God's word abides in me, and I am an obedient servant of Christ, I will not sin. Now, it doesn't mean that when I sin, it doesn't count as a sin. No. It means that if I guide my life by this incorruptible word, I will have the wisdom to see sin before it makes me stumble. And I will use God's word with all of my ability to keep myself from committing sin. Verse 10. "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother." I cannot say that I am a child of God and hold a grudge against my brother. I cannot say that I am a child of God and not practice righteousness. How can I say, says James, chapter 3, how can I bless God and curse man who was created in the image of God? John brings up the point that how can I say that I love God whom I have not seen when I hate my brother whom I see? It is unrighteous for me to not forgive my brother or my sister. It is unrighteous for me to always hold that disdain and hold them as an inferior. It is unrighteous for me to hate, despise my sister or my brother. And the Bible tells me if this is what you are doing, you are not of God. Your father is the devil. Jesus said these same words in John chapter 8, verse 44. You recall Jesus, when those Jews who wanted to kill them, he revealed to them, you are not Abraham's seed, for if you were Abraham's seed, you would not want to kill me. But I will tell you who your father is. You are of your father, the devil, because he has been a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Brethren, to lie, even a, quote, lie, white lie, is to practice unrighteousness. And if I try to justify my lying, I am not of God, because in God there is no shadow of variance, says James 1:18. It is impossible, says Titus 1:2, for God to lie. And if I am his child, if he is my father, I practice righteousness even when it's difficult to practice. Because I will not bring shame upon my father's name. Because I was born of God, born of the incorruptible seed, born for righteousness. You see, we were born from obedience, friends. In Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17, and I encourage you to read it at home. In fact, let's read it really quickly. Romans chapter 8. I'd rather let God himself do the talking, brethren. Romans chapter 8, beginning there at verse 12. The Bible reads, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Notice the many stipulations found just in these few verses. Notice that here we are identifying the sons of God, the daughters of God. We begin by understanding that we now are debtors, not according to the flesh, but we have to live according to the Spirit. Again, if we practice righteousness, said 1 John 3, the seed of God is in us, the same incorruptible seed that led us to the purification of our souls, the same seed that allowed us to cry upon God, Abba, Father. And God is saying here, verse 14, that if we are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It's talking about a faithful life. It's talking about always walking in the light. In other words, brothers and sisters, be careful. We can be disowned. Be careful. We can lose our privileges and our rights as children of God. See, it isn't just about baptism. Baptism is what gets us adopted officially. Baptism is how we are born into the family of heaven. Baptism is how we come to be engaged or betrothed to the Son of God. But I have to remain faithful. I have to remain in that state of obedience. I was born not only for righteousness, but I was born from obedience so that I may be an obedient child of God. Because if I am not, then I can lose my inheritance. I then can lose that beautiful name that is given to all mankind from heaven. I will lose my birthright, my firstborn birthright, when I live recklessly. So it's not just about being born into Christ, it's about remaining faithful in Christ. I have to continue justifying that I am indeed a child of God. When I speak like my Father, when I act like my Father, when I walk like my Father, the world will see me and see my Father. You're a child of God. How did you know that? You don't talk like the rest of us. You don't react like the rest of us. There's something different about the way you live. Brethren, if the world cannot see God in us, if the world cannot see the similarities between our Father and ourselves, have we been erasing our identity? Have we been taking on the identity of our enemy, our adversary? We were born from obedience. What makes us think that obedience is no longer necessary? See, to be children of God, we have to be faithful. We have to be obedient. And that love and that gratitude for which why we wanted to obey at the beginning should always be present and true in our hearts. Therefore, friends, the question is, how do I become a child of God? Well, the Bible is clear. You see, in order for me to become a child of God, we've already seen I have to be born of God. I have to be born of the incorruptible seed. Therefore, it makes sense that I have to hear God's word, not man's word. Everything that you are hearing now, friend, you need to go home. You need to open your Bible and you need to study it for yourself to see if indeed these words are as God has commanded them. See, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, the Apostle Paul gives thanks to God because the Thessalonians, when they heard Paul teaching them, they received it as the word of God and not the word of men. What that means is that what they heard, they processed it, they studied it, and when they verified it, they then obeyed it because they knew Paul was not trying to be deceptive with them. So they were born of the incorruptible seed. They believed in God's Son. You see, brethren, when we talk about this, brothers and sisters, and I encourage you, pay attention to what we're doing here right now. Don't just say, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, be faithful. No, we need to be specific. What do I need to believe in? You need to believe in God's Son. You need to believe, as John chapter 5, verse 24 teaches, where Jesus himself says, if anyone believes that the Father has sent me, he has believed in the Son of God. When the Ethiopian eunuch was asked, if you believe, you may well do so, do you pay attention to what he confessed? I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. What are we believing? In John chapter 20, verse 31, these things have been written so that you may believe that he is the Son of God. So we have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And when we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we then are able to understand that we need his blood. And therefore, I stop resisting God, and I start resisting God's word, and I repent from all of my sins. Because Jesus, the Son of God, teaches me that the purpose is for man to repent everywhere. I have to turn away from my sins. I have to change my mind. But, you know, back to confessing. What am I supposed to confess? That Jesus is Lord. I have to confess that Jesus is Lord. In Romans chapter 8, verses 8 through 10, we always like to quote verse 10, with the mouth you confess unto salvation. But go back to verse 8. Notice there how it is telling us what it is that I have to confess. That Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is the one who rules over me. That Jesus is God's Son. That He is God's chosen one to be placed over me. And therefore, if I do believe and I am truly confessing that He is my Lord, then I'm going to obey my Lord's commandment. You see, there in Galatians 3, 26 through 29, it teaches us that in those of us who are baptized into Christ, we are children of God. And therefore, because of this, the commandment given to me comes from the Lord whom I just confessed as my Lord. Because it is He who's given the commandment for all men to be baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, He is the one who's authorizing. He is the one who's commanding. And baptism is not a man-made fiction. It is not for anything other than what God Himself has commanded, and that is for the remission of sins. But we've already stated, if I want to continue being a child of God, it's not just with being baptized and that's it. No, I must live faithfully in Christ. Colossians 3, 1 through 11 makes this point very clear. To live faithfully in Christ means that if I have tasted God's grace, I have to put off from me all of those things that are according to the flesh, that will cause me to sin against God's word. If you are among us today, if you have not followed the biblical pattern, if you have yet to be born of God and you have yet to be born of the incorruptible seed, then the question is, what are you waiting for? If you perhaps need more clarification, then here is the invitation we make to you. Let us sit down together and let us reason together with God's word in hand. Let us help you see through God's undefiled word what it is that you need to be saved. And when and if and when you choose to understand and accept that yes, God's word is indeed incorruptible, and that you see that you do need baptism according to God's word so that you can be made a child of God, so that you can be born again, then we encourage you to be obedient. If you hear today His voice, do not harden your hearts. Now is the acceptable time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Perhaps, brother or sister, you have not been bringing glory to the name, the family name, and you are in need of our prayers. You're afraid to face Father because you are embarrassed and you are ashamed. You do not want to see that look of disappointment from our Father's glorious eyes. You do not want to hear the question, what have you done? But instead, like the prodigal son, like the lost son, your mindset today, because your reason has returned to you, because you have returned to yourself, is, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am not worthy to be called your son. We can pray on your behalf, and we can help place new sandals upon your feet. We can help place the ring that God Himself commands us to place upon your hand that shows you that you have not yet lost your place as long as you are contrite of spirit and of heart. God will not despise and He will not reject a penitent heart. So if you are in need of our prayers, or if you want to become a child of God today, we invite you to come forward as we stand and we sing.